Happy Halloween. I'm Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Trevor Noah said that for companies that people work from home during the pandemic, everything seemed fine. They kept making money. They kept making a profit, which really made a lot of people wonder what the point of coming back into the office is. Like, why sit in 2 hours of traffic to then sit at a computer that has the same internet as my computer at home, except everyone here can see I'm looking at porn. Jimmy Fallon heard about a guy who bought a Six Flags annual pass. Fallon said, how about this deal? You get the Six Flags annual pass, right? That allows you to get unlimited food for $150. He's eaten nearly all his meals at Six Flags ever since. Of course, all the money he saved is now going to doctors to get his cholesterol down from 1,000. Imagine eating at Six Flags every day. I'm sure Six Flags, I'm sure your food is wonderful, but we do need some diversity, you know? Trevor, yeah, the dude fed himself for 50 cents a day. Genius. We should get him to fix all the world's economies before he dies from gout. Right now, the Democrats are struggling to figure out how to pay for health care. This guy would solve it. He'd probably just come in and be like, all you have to do is go to the first aid tent at Six Flags and tell them the roller coaster gave you lupus. Boom, free health care. And by the way, how are amusement parks both the cheapest and most expensive places on earth? Like, eat for a year, $150, a mouse pad with a picture of you on a roller coaster, $3,000, no in between. But I will say, man, props to this guy for gaming the system. That's the kind of bleep you can only get away with it at Six Flags, you know, because they're a chilled amusement park. If you try this at Disney, oh man, Mickey wouldn't mess around. He'd have you hanging by your thumbs in the castle dungeon. If you missed yesterday, you gotta listen to yesterday. Bobcat vs. Jerry Seinfeld. I can't get enough. And I hadn't planned on doing that. Sometimes I stumble into a story that's not on my script. You know, I'm reading here. Not every last word, but, you know, I've got a plan. I'm not just totally winging these stories from memory. And I didn't set out to do that one at all, but I'm so glad we stumbled into that yesterday. You got to listen to it. So what I was trying to tell you about was this article from Yahoo about Bobcat Goldthwait. He's got a new documentary out. As an actor, Bobcat Goldthwait's credits include numerous Police Academy movies. The John Cusack 80s classic One Crazy Summer, yes. And the Bill Murray Christmas favorite Scrooged. He's also voiced roles on animated shows like Lilo and Stitch and Bob's Burgers. Now let me ask you two questions. First question, have you ever seen Bob's Burgers? The answer is no, and we both know it. Second question, have you ever met anyone at all, who has seen Bob's Burgers? No, you haven't. Today's Sunday. Here's what I want you to do. Fox claims Bob's Burgers is on Sundays. Why don't you put on Fox 9 at 9 o'clock? I'm willing to bet you there's a test pattern up. I get that they promote Bob's Burgers, but they know they don't actually have to make it. This seems like it could be some sort of, I don't know, tax dodge or a prank that Andy Kaufman Award winner Kristen Schaal is behind. Now Bobcat's on it. But have you ever seen Bob's Burgers? No, you haven't. What was Bobcat's worst moment in stand-up comedy? He said, this was in 1987. I was in Atlanta, and I was performing in a big outdoor venue. I really like these venues where rich people pay a lot of money to sit with their wine and cheese. Anyway, I'm up there, and these people in the crowd keep yelling, Freebird, the whole show. It's a pretty tired, hacky thing for someone to yell, despite me laughing at it. It's such a played-out joke. They kept yelling, Freebird, so I'm thinking, as soon as my allotted time is up, I'm going to unload on the next person who does it. I was ready to snap, and when the next person yelled, Freebird, I said, Lynyrd Skynyrd is dead, all right? Two of the band members died in a 1977 plane crash, which also injured the remaining members and killed several others. And then I looked down, and there were these long-haired biker guys climbing onto the stage. I look for security. There's no security stopping them as they get closer to me. I see around their necks these laminated passes that say, Lynyrd Skynyrd Survivor Tour 87. And they go, hey, man, we're Lynyrd Skynyrd. We're not dead. So it was the surviving members of Lynyrd Skynyrd. They were in the audience. That's why people were yelling Freebird. So I go, ladies and gentlemen, Lynyrd Skynyrd. And this was back when I was doing my persona that people knew me for. And this was the first time I'd used my real voice on stage. And the guy hugged me and was like, we're playing a gig. Can you plug it? So I plugged their gig. After that, I didn't even wait around to get paid. It was a borderline riot situation. I turned to my buddy Tony, who was working the show with me, and I said, Tony, get the car. And I walked off stage, got in the car, and we took off. Tony and I had a good laugh about it. He says, I'm always going to get him killed one day. The Guardian asked, when a crowd is shouting things, is it better to ignore it or engage? Bobcat, sometimes you can play with them and deflect that. When it happens at a comedy club and they're just talking, they're ruining the show for people around them. People can't get on a plane and act right, so I imagine what happens in a club where they're serving drinks, but I'm not going to pretend that it's Thanksgiving and we're trying to get along. The big takeaway is that sometimes it's not about me. I thought they were busting my chops, but in reality, they were just trying to get Lynyrd Skynyrd's attention. So sometimes when I'm on stage, I might unload on a heckler, and then later I realize, oh, they weren't saying what I thought. They're actually saying a nice thing, and I misinterpreted it. I've never been in the presence of the members of Lynyrd Skynyrd since, and I don't listen to their music. That's not my wheelhouse, but for some reason, I do have a soft spot for 38 Special. From the AARP, your home for comedy news, they spoke with Ricky Gervais. He said, if someone told me as a young man, hey, in the year 2021, not only are you still alive, but you're famous and wealthy, I would have said, wow, that's fantastic. I'm surprised. I never dreamt I'd live that long, and certainly not as an international comedian. But then they would say, okay, the bad news is all your gigs are canceled because there's a pandemic on. And I'd go, oh, crap. I was a late starter. That was my savior. I feel sorry for kids who get famous at 18. That's a ticking time bomb. I wrote the British version of The Office at 39. It came out when I was 40. Jane Fallon, who's Ricky's partner of nearly four decades, Jane and I had been together almost 20 years. I had friends. I had life experiences. I knew who I was. I won some awards. I remember sitting around at Tuxedo drinking a glass of wine. I said to Jane, why didn't I do this earlier? And she said, because you wouldn't have been any good. All right, it's Halloween. You got to be in the mood for some spooky stories, right? How about Where the Living Meet the Dead? Telling you about it all week, Robert Edgley, a raconteur. He tells ghost stories. I mean, if you don't want ghost stories today, when are you going to want ghost stories, you know? Robert has curated tales that are a mixture of myths, murders, and suspense that takes your imagination winding down the cobblestone streets of Savannah, Georgia, where the living meet the dead, available now wherever you get your podcasts. This one for the Brits from Chortle. Nish Kumar is standing down as host of Late Night MASH. The current series of the topical show has come to an end on Dave, that's a TV channel, with a compilation episode. Nish Kumar said, I've loved being part of the show, but I've made the difficult decision to step down and spend more time with my emotional problems. Thank you to everybody at Dave, everybody who worked on the show, and especially everyone who watched it. It's the longest I've ever stayed with a job. It's mainly because the uniform is better than Croydon W.H. Smith, which is apparently a local UK reference that I don't get. Somebody out there is laughing. From the Interrobang, this summer, South Park creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone signed an incredible $900 million deal that amounts to multiple new seasons of South Park and 14 original films to debut on Paramount Plus. I don't know which number is more shocking. $900 million? A lot of money, but you got to split it in two. So it's $450, you got to pay taxes. So, you know, Matt Stone's probably only walking away with like $280. 14 original films? Well, the first film, titled Post-COVID, will feature the gang dealing with a post-COVID world. Speaking of South Park, the other night I told you I was going to Trivia Night with Seg and Glenn. Well, we showed up at Trivia Night, and it was costume night. We didn't have costumes. I had a hoodie sweatshirt on, so I was going to pull the hood over my head and pull it really tight and pretend to be Kenny from South Park. Why did we want to do this? The trivia contest, if you had a costume, you got a bonus point, and we really needed the bonus points. We are not good at trivia. But luckily, Glenn pulled his jacket up and looked like Dracula. Not that Glenn looks like Dracula, but it was a good half-ass costume. We got the point. So the Interrobang says the term films, back to South Park, has been left up for debate. However, it's now been made clear they won't be feature films. Trey Parker said, with Viacom, we realized we could make them as long as short as we needed. And then they went and called them movies. They're the ones that said we're giving them 14 movies in 7 years. All I can say for me, personally, I'm 52 years old. I've made 3 movies in my life. So you do the math. Matt Stone added, we're trying to make what's on Paramount Plus different from anyone else. So hour-long made-for-TV movies is where our head is at. We'll do 2 made-for-TV movies every year. They'll be big, but they're not quite movie scale. South Park, post-COVID, debuts on Paramount Plus November 25th. As for the actual show that hasn't had a new episode in 2 years, it's staying on Comedy Central. You can expect new episodes in, quote, early 2022. My former coworker, Jamie Foxx, was on with Mario Lopez on Access Daily. He told a quick story about meeting Mike Tyson. Jamie Foxx impersonated Mike Tyson at a comedy show before even realizing Mike Tyson was in the audience. Luckily, their friendship quickly blossomed after that night. Jamie Foxx said, I would be his jester in a sense, just ride around with him sometimes when he was at his height. Jamie's got a new book. It's called Act Like You Got Some Sense. And I don't know if Bobcat Goldthwait is going to get invited anytime soon on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, but what about Comedians on Bicycles Getting Bobs? This from the SF Gate. Comedian Sarah Katz-Hyman hosts 10-minute-long episodes in which she cruises around San Francisco, riffing about the joys of cycling while interviewing a notable San Franciscan and nibbling on maple old-fashioned crumb donuts and buttermilk bars. The idea for the project became when Alec Hawley, a former comedian turned landscape architect, felt like he needed to make a change in his life. He was spending way too much time driving He needed to find a way to reward himself for ditching his car in favor of a bicycle. Holly said, "Every day I would get myself on the bike, I would get a donut." He started talking to Katz Hyman about starting her own series. It was a natural move for Katz Hyman, who works in a nonprofit, has been doing improv for 8 years, and just started trying stand-up. One of the goals is just to show there's places all over San Francisco where you can bike with a friend. Certainly, we acknowledge that the city itself needs to do some more as far as creating safe bike infrastructure, but our show leans less on the advocacy and more on the joy side of biking. Jokes and bikes aside, anyone who's been to Bob's Donuts will know that the donuts are the real star of the show. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The shop's history dates back to 1959. They bake an estimated 1,000 donuts a day. Hey, speaking of donuts, I got to hit the National Donuts chain. I don't live in San Francisco, so I have to go to this National Donuts chain. I don't even get the donuts. I get coffee. So if you like what I do here, buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. It's a nice way to support the show. You throw $5 in the tip jar. I will take your money. I will go to National Donuts chain. I will say, hey, National Donuts chain employee, let me get large ice, milk, and caramel. That's how I'll do it in my Queens accent, and they'll nod and eventually I get a cup there, and then we have to exchange currency, you know? So buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Follow this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.